You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop, acknowledge me!
Episode 349 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Drosty, Justin Joint, Jesse Velasquez here to break down what has been a very newsworthy week in the world of professional wrestling. It feels like it's been a while since we did a show, but we just did Money in the Bank. But Justin, you were not on that show, so welcome back to the pod, my friend.
Good to be here. Good show, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Did you have a chance to watch Money in the Bank at all?
I mean, no, I have not yet. Yeah, I mean, like, your guys's review was good, but it also really didn't make me want to go back and watch that show.
Understandable.
So you watch Heat Wave instead?
Haven't watched that one either. Although there is something from that show that I might want to touch on later on this show.
Yeah. Well, Justin, do you have anything in the glass tonight?
Well, funny you ask. Yes, I grabbed something special for me. And while that intro was playing, I realized that it's not a twist off bottle cap. So after I introduce the beer, I'm going to have to go run and open this bad boy. Because of how much fun last night's Dynamite was and how excited and pumped it got me for professional wrestling, I'm going to go ahead and have my very last Parrish Brewery Ghost in the Machine.
Very nice.
I think we've talked about it before. It's a beer I really like, and they don't sell it around here anymore. So this is probably going to be the last time I have it for a long time, if ever. So having said that, I got to go get a bottle opener.
All right. Well, Justin will be right back. Jesse, how you been this week? It's been a couple of days.
I know. I feel like we should not sing a death march, but we should kind of serenade the Ghost in the Machine beer. I've heard nothing but positive reviews about it. I don't think we have it up here either. Like, life's okay, as we talked about off air. Changes to the shoot job for the minimal for foreseeable future, for the short term. So it's going to unfortunately hamper my drinking on Thursday evenings.
Very unfortunate. Extremely unfortunate. Yes.
I'm sad. It's the one day of the week that I usually drink. I mean, I have the occasional weekend, but other than that, yeah, Thursday nights, pop one open. We're good to go. And I don't have any athletic competitions for maybe ever. So,
I mean, those Friday mornings are going to come pretty early for you. So I understand. Justin, more of that beer, I guess we're just going to have to send you down to Louisiana, maybe New Orleans. I don't think you'll complain too much.
Twist my arm.
Bring back a few cases of that nice IPA. Well, here's what I got. I picked this up. This one was not available in Iowa until very recently. I'd had it in Chicago a few times. It is the M43 beer from Old Nation Brewing Company out of Michigan. Show it on the stream here. This is Justin will like the color of this beer. Really nice. Good stuff.
Ooh,
looks similar to the one you're pouring right
now.
Yeah, it does. So,
matching color.
Thursday night pro wrestling. We're going to talk about Mariah May and Toni Storm. We're going to talk about Bryan Danielson. We're going to talk about Rhea Ripley returning on Raw, a little bit on NXT. We're going to cover all the bases. Before we do, let me cover our bases. We are Top Rope Nation, established in 2016. If you've never tuned into the show, welcome. Subscribe wherever you're getting your podcasts. If you're watching us live on YouTube right now, please be so kind as to hit the like button. That will help us out. And also subscribe to the channel while you're here. We go live pretty much every Thursday night. And when there's PLEs or pay-per-views, we are live on the weekends as well. If you want more bonus content from Top Rope Nation, what you can do is you can click that link in our broadcast description and join the Patreon page, where we have over 150 bonus podcasts available the minute you sign up. You can start getting access to all of those bonus shows for just $5 a month. You're seeing the name scrolling across the bottom of the screen right now. Those are our wonderful patrons, and I want to give a shout out. He joined a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not sure I gave him the shout out yet. He's one of the more active members of our Facebook group, which anybody can join for free. Search Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion on Facebook.com. Mr. John Hope, one of our newest members of the Patreon page. So John, I wanted to give you a shout out. Really, really appreciate you signing up and hope you're enjoying all the bonus content over there. I want to welcome Peter back, who has been a patron in the past. He has rejoined. And of course, thank all 40 of our paying patrons that we have right now. Would love to get up to 50 by the end of the summer. So if you've been thinking about joining up, no better time than now. We've put out a lot of editions of Top Rope Nation classics lately. Jesse's show has had a brief hiatus, but he's telling us it's coming back soon and it's coming in hot. So get signed up in time for some more TRN Unplugged. TRN Extra has been dropping recently as well with some bonus content that I have been doing. So you can hear all of that. There's giveaways, all kinds of stuff over on Patreon. We got the poll up right now on the next edition of Top Rope Nation Classics that we'll be doing here probably in about 2 weeks or so for July. So that's coming down the line. We're talking thousands of hours of bonus content. So sign up for the Patreon page. And if anything, subscribe on YouTube. Totally free. Really appreciate the support.
Monday is a good goal for me to drop a episode, because then I'll be exactly 200 behind the flagship show.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
So we'll stay 200 behind pace.
There you go. Episode 150 of TRN Unplugged. There's your tease coming next week. I see our friend Ryan Huffman is in the chat, and he said, I picked up some real American beer the other night in Jesse's state up in Minnesota. It's decent. Bringing 30 of them to Waterloo next week. Oh, yes. The Tragos Thez Hall of Fame. Waterloo, Iowa next week. We might be attending some of that. We'll have to talk off air, but maybe we can provide some eyewitness reports with all the legends invading Iowa here in about a week and a half. Looking forward to seeing Ryan Huffman there every year, seeing Gabe Benson, strong supporter of the show. I'm sure Gabe will be there and a host of others. So yeah, Tragos Thez, it's kind of flying under the radar this year. I almost forgot until Huffman texted me about that the other day, but yeah, looking forward to seeing Ryan for sure.
Those are Waterloo, Iowa's truest legends right there. Ryan Huffman.
That's right. That's right. Well, guys, I think we should start off with what is the thumbnail on YouTube for this show and what everyone has been talking about for almost 24 hours now. And that was a hell of an edition of AEW Dynamite this week. I gotta say, AEW is firing on all cylinders right now. Terrific television each and every week. And last night, we're talking the opening of the show, the ending of the show, both of those matches and the storylines. I don't know if it gets any better than this. This turn that Mariah May did after winning the Owen, she defeated Willow Nightingale up in Calgary in the finals of the women's Owen tournament, and immediately turning on Toni Storm at the top of the ramp, taking her out with the belt shot, attacking her with the shoe. Toni Storm bleeding all over the place, you know, on the white outfit that she was wearing. Mariah May going from this character that was, you know, very happy and joyous and celebrating in the ring to evil and maniacal on live television with, you know, no smile on her face whatsoever. She's looking serious and evil at the top of the ramp. You could not have executed this any better, in my opinion. I honestly thought that they were going to save the turn for down the road. I actually was leaning more into, I thought maybe Toni would turn on her out of jealousy, just knowing that All In's going to be in Mariah's hometown of London, England. But instead, you know, Mariah doing the heel bit that she was so good at portraying last night, I'm sure she's going to get cheered no matter what they do in London. And that's just kind of luck of the draw. I mean, they're going to be in her hometown no matter what she does. They're not going to boo her. But I do think Mariah showed last night that, like, as an actress in this character, she's going to do a really good job. She'll probably get the crowds here in the States booing her. There were some cheers last night. I think AEW has more of that inside audience, you know, that is recognizing this was well done. And you shocked us. We didn't see it coming tonight. Let's throw it to Justin here. Justin, your thoughts on what we saw at the end of Dynamite last night?
So there are things, you know, that we see as wrestling fans. You know, a lot of times we'll see matches that become classics and we never forget about. There's moments or visuals that just become ingrained in your mind that you carry with you forever. You know, and there's angles that you'll never forget about. And especially if you're a certain age, when you see them, they're going to leave a major imprint on you. And honest to God, the first thing I thought when I saw that angle last night, that moment, was number one, unlike 90% of, you know, the wrestling I watch, I'm not going to forget about that. I'm never going to forget about that moment. And it just felt to me like when I was 12 years old, you know, I think AEW got their barbershop window moment. It was just seemed like nothing we'd ever seen in AEW before. Just like it, you know, in WWE at that time when Shawn turned on Marty, you know, it was such a drastic, you know, left turn for Shawn's character, and just a really visceral, cruel moment, especially to a 12-year-old. And, you know, I could really see this moment having an impact on any younger viewers, and shit, for that matter, older viewers like us. Because the other thought I had is, you know, I think now, I should say, a lot of this will depend on how it plays out. But as of right now, where we stand, I think that might be the best angle or slash moment in women's wrestling history. I can't really speak to Japanese women's wrestling. I haven't seen very much of that. But, I mean, as far as WWE and AEW and WCW, I would put this above Becky Lynch, if only because that was kind of fluky. You know, it wasn't meant to happen, and it was really just leading into a, you know, a shitty SmackDown versus Raw Survivor Series match. Still amazing, unforgettable, but ultimately I think I might have to put this tippy top. And, you know, the other thing real quick before we throw it to Jesse is, Ryan, I heard you on, you know, obviously just now, but also on One True Sport, you know, you said many times that you thought Tony should be the heel and May the baby face. And for the most part, I kind of agreed with you. And you said, I think we all may have agreed, at least me and Ryan, that this should maybe even be a slow burn turn, just be, you know, or the, you know, the moment when they finally backstabbed each other, just because I think we all enjoyed them together so much. We didn't really want it to happen, but the execution was so good that I'm okay with it. And frankly, I want to see how this plays out now. They were both so phenomenal in their roles that it worked. So I can't say enough good stuff about it. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, really well said. And I'm right there with you. I mean, like you said, that was my prediction when Zach asked me on the show, what do you think? Are they going to split right away, slow burn? I'm like, I think they'll drag it out a bit, maybe the jealousy angle. I think that's one of the things, though, that made it so good last night. It was so unexpected.
Yeah.
And they didn't really tease it. It was just like, boom, it just happened. And it was so well done. And how is this going to affect Toni Storm's character? I mean, basically, they played into what everyone said from the start, the All About Eve storyline, you know, from the movie from 1950, that this was going to be Mariah using the established star to get herself over. And that's exactly what happened. But, you know, even following that pattern from that old Hollywood classic, it still shocked everybody. And both ladies deserve a ton of credit. Justin, let me get your take on what Justin said. So maybe the best storyline execution in women's wrestling history. What do you think about that?
We had brought up a few in our group chat, and I don't really remember anything quite like this. I know Moolah and Cyndi Lauper back in the WrestleMania, like the inception of it. There was a couple others that you had brought in there. I mean, you can't, like Sasha Bailey NXT, which was really good, but I mean, this was just so sudden and shocking.
And Sasha Bailey was more about the match. Like, I don't really remember an angle that really stood out from that feud.
Yeah, it was basically just that Sasha was really mean to her. Pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, just very, very simple stuff. I mean, we haven't seen anything like this. Because, I mean, Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa, I think everybody just remembers that match. Because Britt is much better on the microphone than Thunder Rosa is. So there probably wasn't too much of a back and forth. Stole my thunder, Ryan, on the It's All About Eve commentary as well. Yeah. I mean, she made her debut in early November, I believe Mariah May did. And in the All Elite graphic, it said, It's All About Mariah. So they were already kind of teasing things like she has her eye on Toni Storm. And that was how many months ago now? 8.
Yeah. Slow burn.
8 months. Yeah. So this is a slower burn than we had originally thought. I think we had been thinking this had been going for maybe 4 to 6 months, give or take. And we're like, all right, this can maybe even hold off till the end of the year where you pull off what Adam Cole did to MJF at World's End. And that's when we thought maybe Mariah would turn on Tony, but here we go the other way. I think just the violence of it all, and just as we were going on air, I just saw and heard the shoe that Mariah was delivering to Tony, and I literally just cringed and gasped. And you don't get those moments too often. That was very similar to Swerve and Hangman at Full Gear last year in their Texas Death Match when he was drinking blood. Just kind of, is anybody else watching this? You almost don't want the wrong person to be watching this.
Dude, I mentioned like Mariah's facials during all that and the evil look and just not smile, not a hint of acting. It was just she played it off perfectly, but also credit to Toni Storm and the way she took those shots and the expression on her face was tremendous, tremendous stuff.
I mean, that's what cemented it for me was the high heel shots at the very end, you know, holding her head up. Have you guys seen the backstage footage yet? They just released. That's really good too. I highly recommend everybody go to AEW's account and look that up because that's phenomenal stuff, especially by Tony.
Yeah. We got a few chats going on right now. I wanted to feature one of them based on this topic. So Sydney checking in the chat says, one of the best turns I've ever seen in 39 years of watching wrestling. I loved how utterly transformed Mariah was from the moment she grabbed the belt and turned around to strike Tony. Goes on to say, this was her plan from the moment she debuted, wanting to meet Tony backstage. Brilliant. Absolutely. I agree with everything you guys said. You know, as far as where does this rank in women's wrestling history? I mean, the involvement of Cyndi Lauper in the early WrestleMania period, business-wise, obviously was transformative. As a storyline, doesn't touch this. I mean, the Becky stuff, the man, a lot of that was just kind of a happy accident, how she legit had the broken nose on Raw and all the blood and stuff. They were doing a story with her and the catchphrase and stuff that was good. But I mean, yeah, when it comes to long-term orchestrated storylines, I can't think of much that tops this. And then just beyond the women's division, at least for AEW, this has got to be like a top three or top five storyline they've done in company history. I mean, just as a company, what else would you put up there? The rise of Hangman to Full Gear 2021, obviously would be right up there. But I mean,
the MJF Punk stuff.
Yep. That would be up there. But I mean, it's right there.
Well,
the way they've laid the breadcrumbs all of these months, we were even complaining and I think at the time it was, I don't want to say I was out of line, but I remember early on saying I want him to like get to the story. It seemed like it was going too slow, which I do think early on you barely saw Mariah on TV. It took a while for them to get to it, but once they started getting to the matches and her accompanying her out to the ring and everything, then it really kicked in and you were just kind of waiting, and I didn't expect it last night. Go ahead, Justin. Sorry for interrupting.
No, I was just going to say, like, I think I sent that to you guys this morning, you know, so it was this name a better moment in women's wrestling history. And to your point, Ryan, about, you know, great angles in AEW history, I think me saying that is a disservice to how good this is. It shouldn't be about, is this a great angle for women's wrestling? This is just a great fucking wrestling angle. You know, they just completely pulled this off. And going back to kind of the perfect timing of it is that, for one, I'm glad they did it because I don't need to see another MJF and Adam Cole feud like we did at All Out or All In last year. You know, I'm good with that. But also the timing of it is, like, I was really digging Toni Storm's new character when it very first debuted. And then it kind of lost me too much because I just seemed like she was going a little too far with it. And then, you know, Mariah May came in and they just gelled so well. And Toni in the last, you know, 4 months has really got this character dialed in where it's not too far out of left field. It feels like an actual person for the most part. And obviously she's such a great ass kicker in the ring that just makes everything more believable too. So just a chef's kiss to everybody involved with this.
Mm-hmm. Getting quite a few face reactions over the last couple of months, and the sympathy that she was definitely earning on stage in the last 90 seconds was incredible. So I don't see too many people booing her. Even in Mariah's hometown, I think the crowd might be split 50-50 if this story plays true to form.
Yeah, but, you know, to Ryan's point earlier, I'm not really concerned about what the reaction is going to be, because it's just, you know, I don't know if AEW has ever really been that kind of crowd. You know, it'd be nice if maybe they played along a little bit more, but that's not really what this company has been about. You know, like the super heel that the crowd wants to boo, there's just not very many of them. In fact, shit, the only one in the entire world of wrestling right now might be Dominic Mysterio. I mean, that might be it, you know? It's just a different world when it comes to wrestling fandom now. So I like the crowd reaction at All In does not worry me at all. And frankly, it could just be like a Bret Hart thing. She'll go over there, she'll get, you know, cheered beyond belief. She'll come back here and hopefully get booed if more than maybe May does her job. If Toni does her job.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look at Swerve Strickland. He was portraying as heel of a character as possible, but he was so good that this is the story behind Hangman right now. He's frustrated with how the crowd turned on him. And I mean, like, if this was a legit sport and these were real people and actually how they were behaving, he would be right. I mean, for God's sakes, like, Swerve broke into his house, you know, but it didn't matter. The crowd recognized this guy is unbelievably good and they just wanted to cheer him. So they went with Swerve. And so we'll have to see how it plays out. We don't even know, like, what's Mariah May's ring gear going to look like? What's her entrance theme going to be? Like, her entire run in AEW has been just cosplaying Toni Storm. So really interested to see.
She's just been a better version of Damian Sandow with The Miz.
It's true. So, I mean, credit to all involved. I've been banging, you know, the drum on this for months that Mariah May could be the featured star in this division. Just, you know, she was a good wrestler in Stardom. Not that she was like a out of this world wrestler, but I could recognize she was good enough to, you know, succeed. And now we're seeing with the character work, I believe she's done a little bit of acting in the past, so she has some of that in her background. I mean, here we go. I think what we're seeing play out is that she can be a top tier women's star. And when you look at what they're doing in the women's division with this match and Toni Storm, and then you also have Britt Baker returning, and Britt Baker and, you know, Mercedes, which is the more prominent title match right now? You know, you certainly have Mercedes and Britt being kind of a founding pillar of AEW, but I mean, this is the big story in the promotion. So this definitely feels like the bigger match, which maybe Mercedes wouldn't like that too much, but this is definitely the featured story. And I don't think there's any question that AEW is the best women's division in pro wrestling right now. I know that for the early part of AEW, people really bashed them a lot for not enough focus on the women's division. And at that point in time, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. You look at this division right now, this will go toe-to-toe with anybody. And if you're Becky Lynch sitting out there and you are unsigned and you're thinking, where do I want to wrestle? How do you not want to come here? Fresh matches, lighter schedule. We talked about on the pod several weeks ago, might work out better for home life, you know, working opposite days of her husband and having a kid at home. God, I would love to see Becky Lynch get into this mix. You?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, for me, it's just 1,000 times more interesting. You know, yeah. I didn't even know about it until I was listening to you and Zach that Finn Balor just signed a 5-year contract. Holy crap. Hit the snooze button on that one for me. I mean, what the hell is he going to do there? I mean, good for him, for I'm sure he's getting paid really well and he's comfortable there, but that's beyond boring to me to know that he's going to be there for 5 more years. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. WWE's very top heavy. I think when it comes to their women's division, they're starting to get some inklings of the inexperienced people or the ones that are coming up from NXT that are surfacing now on the main roster. Now you have Stephanie Vaquer, of course, who just signed with the WWE from CMLL, and that was a very controversial move that she made. I mean, either way, if she had signed with either company, it would have been controversial. Two other things about Dynamite before we roll into it. You mentioned Hangman Page as well going off the wall. He's still coming out of the face tunnel. It's kind of cool.
I noticed that. That even confused Uncle Jeff.
Yeah, totally looking at the heel tunnel. So yeah, he's basically saying I'm the good guy in the situation. I believe that I am, and I mean he definitely.
That's kind of a neat little wrinkle to the story. I like that. I didn't think about it that way.
Mm-hmm. Hangman always has those little things that he's been doing the last 5 years that has just made him so unique, and then he comes with these impassioned promos. Eyes bulging out of his head, so believable. He's slowly become one of the top promos in the entire maybe world. AEW, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And then last thing as well, if I recall seeing this correctly, Cage Match has this as top 5 AEW Dynamite of all time.
I think it has to be. And we've been really complimenting them the last couple of weeks on how, you know, this show has been off the charts recently. I mean, Collision last week too, with that main event with Jay White and Hangman. I mean, another good show. I feel like even Collision feels, I don't want to say can't miss, but like I've been definitely making a point to watch Collision of late, which a few months ago I wasn't at all. And so, I mean, I know, again, the business is not what WWE is, but this is still a very new promotion. And as we've said on the pod, stay the course. They are producing really good television right now. I mean, they have turned it around to me.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
So yeah, let me get to a cameo in the chat here. He says, "It was an excellent ending for the show. It showed Mariah's dark side, and the fact that she laid out Aubrey was great. That was a great touch, too. I like that as well. And Mariah is better as a heel. I swear that she's going to be winning the gold." Yeah, I think that would be a smart decision to put the belt on her. We will see. So we know she's challenging for the AEW women's title. And in the men's division, it technically was not the open of the show because we did get Will Ospreay out there. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But let's keep it with the Owen. We had Bryan Danielson and we had Hangman Page in Calgary in the finals of the men's tournament, which was an awesome match. And as this podcast has been steadfast in saying for months now, Bryan Danielson needs to get into the world title picture. Look at Justin's name card on the video stream. Make Bryan win.
That's a message to Tony Khan.
If you are Tony Khan, and we know he is a huge wrestling nerd like all of us, just has a lot more money than us. How could this guy not want Bryan Danielson on his title's lineage? He was obsessed with getting CM Punk's name on that title lineage, for better or sometimes for worse. despite brawls backstage. You know, he wanted to go back to him. So this is a situation where I can't imagine he doesn't want to put the title on Brian. And we know Brian is very selfless, but I think that this was a no-brainer. Hangman, as Jesse said, is doing some of the best work of his career and will continue to do so. And him and Swerve is a match that you got in your back pocket to do whenever. And we know it'll be great because they've had them in the past and they've been great. But if you're dealing with Bryan Danielson in the last full-time year of his career, and you have a show at Wembley Stadium, an event he didn't work last year, and we've talked about their business and selling tickets and selling pay-per-views, this is just a no-brainer to put Bryan Danielson in the main event of such a huge show. You know, I felt like you had to go with him here. I think it's the right call. I hope Bryan wins the title, gets a little run with the belt. You know, he can pass the baton up at Wrestle Dream in his home state, maybe to Swerve, two Washington guys going at it. Who knows? But I was really happy to see him get the win. I wasn't sure he was going to win. I was leaning that way. So, I mean, all the near falls and stuff, I was really biting on throughout the match, made the match that much better. I was wondering if Jeff Jarrett was going to, you know, screw one of the guys out of the match because he was out there as the enforcer. I'll go to Jesse first this time. Your thought on how all that played out and the booking of getting Bryan Danielson into the main event at Wembley Stadium.
Whew. Hangman Page made a case, a humongous case, I mean, in the last couple of weeks with those impassioned promos, so kind of left me conflicted. But we have been saying all along, this is Bryan Danielson's last show. There's a podcast that I truly respect, and their scenario, I believe they recorded a couple hours before Dynamite last night, and they were saying, okay, let's let Hangman win this. And then Danielson will somehow get his title shot at Wrestle Dream in his hometown of Tacoma, or Swerve's hometown of Tacoma. And then you have two options there. You can either have Danielson win the championship, or you can have Swerve defeat him and Danielson have him ultimately retire him. So with Tony Khan, you mentioned it, CM Punk and Samoa Joe, those are two of the largest names of Ring of Honor lore. They have their names inscripted in the AEW Gold. He definitely wants Brian on there. It's just, we all know how selfless Danielson is. He's pitched a job to people in the WWE like Drew Gulak. So he's going to do something. He's going to do stuff similar here in AEW. Match last night was awesome. I mean, these guys have put together four matches that have been at least four stars. A couple have been much better. You could argue that the first one, the 60-minute draw, was maybe the best match of that year, but just very similar to Hangman and Omega and Danielson at the first Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. So with Swerve and Danielson now headlining, and I'm assuming that it's going to, just because it's for all the gold. You can go one of two ways. You can have Danielson, like we've been saying, pitch and win it, and then Swerve gets it back at Wrestle Dream, or Swerve tackles the Giant and continues to add to the legacy that he's already being built, because now he has Kazuchika Okada next week. Jeez, you have Ospreay a couple weeks ago. Now you have Okada, who he's probably going to dethrone. Then you add that on top, it's just going to make, I think, things more insurmountable for Danielson to overcome, painting him in the underdog. And we all know how much he loves to be the underdog. So those are my six cents.
Yeah. Justin, you got the name tag down there. So go ahead, sir. Make Brian win. Let's hear it.
Look, he's all but said it. Brian doesn't want to be world champ. He doesn't want that weight on himself. You know,
I think he did say it, didn't he? Didn't he say that in an interview?
I'm pretty sure he said he doesn't want it. He's far too humble. He's more than willing to lay down for anybody. But fuck that. Tony Khan, make him your world champion. You know,
listen here, Brian, you're winning this title.
You know, Ryan, you said he's got to want that on the lineage of this world title. But God damn it, so do a lot of us. I want him on that lineage as world champ. And I do think if they go that way, I do think it has to go back to Swerve. If Danielson wins it all in, I think you have to go back to Swerve. But this is a good problem for them. because either way at All In, I mean, even I love Swerve enough that even if he does win at All In, I'm not going to be upset about it, you know, because they are building him as a big deal. That, I mean, that more than any other win Swerve has had would truly cement him as a top guy, you know, winning the main event against Danielson, you know, in front of that many fans, that's a big deal. I do like the idea because, you know, we're talking about them doing Hangman and Swerve at All In. I always just thought like that rivalry has so much history behind it that with the short window between All In and All Out, that's an easy one to just put in there. On, you know, on the Dynamite between the shows, you can just real quick get back to that. And frankly, I would love to see an All Out of Hangman and Swerve and Danielson and Ospreay, the rematch. And Danielson can get his win back. So it's 1-1. They can have one more somewhere, you know, either before Danielson retires or sometime afterwards, you know, when he can come back and put over Ospreay when Ospreay is world champion. I love that idea. And also, even with the title off of Swerve, Hangman can get a win back. Because, this, I mean, he's 0-2 against Swerve in their big matches.
With a draw?
So, yeah. So, yeah, it just makes so much sense to get it on Danielson for just a small little run. Tony Khan, make that dude win the title, please.
They pushed Steve Borden to do it with the tag team championships.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
he definitely didn't want to. So for the love of God, Brian, just be as selfish as Steve Borden for once, would you please? I'm also curious, like, what in the world they're going to do with Hangman over the next couple of months? And now with Swerve interjecting himself into this Blood and Guts match in a couple of weeks, Hangman's already confronted the Bucks, and I'm assuming he's going to probably join their team, Justin?
Yes. I think that was made pretty clear on Dynamite that he will be part of the Elite at Blood and Guts. But, you know, I was pretty at peace with the idea of Hangman versus, I can't believe I'm saying this, Jeff Jarrett at All In. Because, yeah, Jeff Jarrett has literally been one of my least favorite wrestlers of all time. but I've actually, you know, kind of liked his AEW run with this last Outlaw. And especially the stuff with the Owen Hart Cup. Once again, backstage interview with him and Martha and Oge. Fantastic stuff. He breaks down, talking to me. He even refers back to the interview he gave in the Raw memorial for Owen Hart. Just beautiful stuff. But I was at peace. I was talking myself into it. It's like, hell yeah, the Outlaw versus the Hangman. We need more sub 10 minute matches at these pay-per-views. Let's do that. A little Hangman squash. I don't see anything wrong with it. But I think what we're going to get it All In is Hangman Okada.
Yeah.
Because they've obviously been button heads quite a bit.
How about that Brian backstage promo too that was on social media? I mean, also excellent. Justin, if that is the All Out card, Brian and Ospreay and Swerve and Hangman, I'm going to be furious because this is going to be the first time since 2019, as of now, that I will not be at All Out just because of scheduling and them moving the show off of Labor Day weekend. And I don't think I'm going to be able to go this year. My God, that would be incredible if that's the card 2 weeks after All In. I mean, I got so many thoughts running through my head as you guys were talking, making excellent points. I think what it comes down to is just marquee name value. And when you're a company that's trying to turn around business, you put those posters up in cities trying to sell tickets. You got Bryan Danielson front and center with the belt over his shoulder. That sells tickets. And we all love Hangman Page. We all love Swerve Strickland. But those are guys the hardcores know right now. And that's not who you have to convince to turn around business. You know, you need the names that people, if you think about any times in wrestling history where business turned around, it wasn't like two young stars that the general public didn't know going at it that turned around business. It was, you always had a legend there, or you had somebody from the outside world to get the attention on their promotion, right? I mean, like when Steve Austin got over, he was working with Bret Hart, and then they brought in Mike Tyson. You know, you need those established people, or you know, back in the rock and wrestling era, they bringing in the musicians and stuff. Like typically you need an established star to turn around business, and just Brian can play that role for them. So if he doesn't want to win the title, Tony should be selling it to him like, dude, we need to make you the marquee guy for a few months because you're going to move ticket sales mm-hmm. for us. People are going to come out to see you in. They might not even know the guy's on the show the last couple of years because he's in all these undercard matches. I know he's on some of the posters and stuff, but he's not the featured guy on the show. And I think that there's a difference there. Jesse, did you want to jump in on that?
No, and like we said, with the selflessness, sadly, that's probably the way that he likes it. It's like, just don't throw me on the marquee. There's so many other guys. I'll just go have matches with Timothy Thatcher, Konosuke Takeshita, the whole likes. And I mean, he even had his opportunity to win the championship in that Iron Man match, which of course is arguably the best of all time. I think you've ran through the entire list of accomplishments, Ryan, when it comes to the best matches he's ever participated in, with the strap match being the best strap match probably of all time. So technical masterpieces with Zack Sabre. Yeah, I think it would make some sense here. And they still haven't solidified TV yet. I think that's another big point. Which also mm-hmm. was a huge reason why I think they loaded that card so much next week.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, just a couple more points on this Bryan Danielson potential title run. I mean, again, yeah, selling tickets. This guy is selfless to a fault. He's such a good guy, which is why we love him so much. But it's just the best thing for business. To make a comparison, you know, it's like a sore subject here in the United States right now, but it's like elections. The people you don't have to sell the candidates to the Democrats or the Republicans. Those people are going to vote either way. And like the people that are super engaged in politics, they know what's going on. They're going to vote. The hardcore wrestling fans, they know Bryan Danielson is having all these huge matches. But the people you have to sell to are the people in the middle, right? The people who don't know who Hangman Page is. Those are the people you got to get in the building. And so Bryan Danielson, I think people forget what a big star this guy is. He's a huge star. People know him outside of wrestling. If you look at the last 10 years in pro wrestling, he's like a top five star in all of professional wrestling. Not only was he the WWE champion on a huge show at WrestleMania 30, prime guy when the WWE Network launched, but he was on Total Divas and Total Bellas, and those people transcend. He is one of the people who transcends wrestling. The Yes Chants, it was all over sports. You know, like baseball teams were doing it in the dugout. He's an awesome pro wrestler. People forget what a huge mainstream star he is because the guy would never brag about it, but he is, and he is one of those people who can move tickets. If you make him the prime guy for the last couple months of his career, I think it's a must. I think it's a no-brainer. Justin, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I find it kind of interesting to your point there. He's been starting to do the Yes chant a lot more often recently when he kind of refused to when he first came into AEW. So I don't know, mm-hmm. maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed, they've already talked him into it.
Yeah. Should we hit on this 250 show next week? Because I think that's a natural progression of this discussion, unless you guys have anything else on Danielson here.
No, I think just real quick in general, top to bottom, great Dynamite, top five Dynamite, possibly. I believe that because I wasn't even annoyed by the Jericho part of it. And even the four-way match I thought was pretty good. And I'm excited to see what Pac has in store for All In. That's just all I wanted to get out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to hit on the Ospreay promo to lead into 250. And I'm going to repeat something that I said on One True Sport earlier today, because I know not all of our listeners listen to that. So I'll just repeat myself, because Justin, you told me you liked the point I made. And unlike Brian, I'm going to revel in that credit that you gave me. Say, thank you, sir. So I'm going to double up on what I said.
Hell yeah.
But I mean, Will Ospreay, I think I've said this on the pod here before too. I think... And Jesse could definitely speak on this because he's followed Ospreay's career closer than either of us. He has not always been a great promo, but, and I don't know, some people would say he's not a great promo, but he's a believable promo in that he comes across to me like a fighter. So like he's playing a babyface, yes, but he's giving like when he talks, it's like what you would hear at an MMA press conference. He doesn't come across as an over the top babyface. If you watch somebody like a Cody Rhodes, that is a babyface promo for pro wrestling. You know, his personality turned up 10 notches. You can tell he's doing the classic babyface promo, playing to the crowd, the catchphrases, you know, all of that. Ospreay doesn't really have catchphrases. He says bruv, you know, but that's about it. But he comes across as serious, like this is a very serious matter. He's in a fight. He wants to fight you like an MMA fighter or a boxer. And in his promo, I thought, which started off Dynamite, you know, where they're all zoomed in on him sitting up on the turnbuckle, I thought was well executed as well. I was stunned that they're going to do this match with MJF next week in Little Rock, Arkansas on 1 week's bill. I thought for sure that was going to be an all-in match. I mean, it still could be. They could run it back. It's definitely possible. But I mean, yeah, they announced that for next week. MJF had he was on the screen and he rebutted him on the promo. Jesse, you jump in here. Your thoughts on Ospreay and setting this up for next week.
Yeah, I'm starting to kind of throw flashbacks in my head of like Nate Diaz and Sugar Sean O'Malley. I'm throwing some MMA names out there for our listeners. And the realism of those style of promos, I feel that, yeah, Will Ospreay has definitely picked up a little bit from the MMA world, which is very refreshing. Because like you said, with Cody Rhodes playing the politician and the true to form babyface stuff is run its course. So to see an Englishman come in and I mean, he's kind of in an oh shucks way doing it. But I mean, he's really done a phenomenal job. And I think it's night and day if you go back to 2019 and to where he is now from a promo perspective, too. So, oh, boy, I think now the course I see is Ospreay Pack, and I see Daniel Garcia, MJF at All In. That's kind of where I don't hate it either, especially with already, which speaking of a top 5 to 10 promo, even though the guy can't wrestle, I can't say can't wrestle a lick, but is just meh. Matt Menard. Holy cow, the last couple of promos and how he stood up for Daniel Garcia. There's a 2 minute long impassioned promo about he said, Jackie, I told you this was Daniel's mom. I told you that this is not going to, I told you wasn't your baby boy wasn't going to get harmed. And then later on, he was just saying, okay, well, guess what, MJF? You're not going to be seeing the dancing, dick shaking Daniel Garcia. You're going to be seeing Red Death.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, just such believable, great stuff. Roundabout circle here. Yeah, I thought this way too soon. And is seeing the crowds only at about 2,000 people for that Little Rock show next week? Ooh.
Justin, I guess we're going to have to jump in the car and make like the 12-hour drive.
God damn.
Two more people in the building.
I wish.
How far is that from New Orleans?
Yeah, no kidding. Make it a full-on trip. There you go. Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to they're trying to secure the bag with the TV deal. And I mean, they're doing this big show next week. 250, yeah, it's a landmark show, certainly. But I mean, I think they're trying to secure this TV rights deal. I think that's what it comes down to.
And it's interesting, obviously, that, you know, they're hammering at home that it's about episode 250. But, you know, it just came out that the NBA has almost all but locked in their deal with NBC and Amazon, you know, leaving Warner Brothers kind of out to dry, which supposedly there's still some shenanigans where they can try and match or something like that. But it would seem like a good time for AEW to really try and drive up those viewership numbers. Because at this moment in time, that's a lot more important than the pay-per-view numbers. I mean, those are probably going to sell themselves no matter what when you talk about All In and All Out, you know, especially considering, once again, the star power of Danielson being at the top of that card. You know, who's not going to want to tune into that?
Yeah, I mean, selling it as Bryan Danielson's last shot at a world title. I mean, it's going to be their most bought pay-per-view this year. I'm fairly confident in making that prediction, at least up through then. I don't know what they got planned for the fall, but yeah, it should be a huge, huge show. So yeah, I mean, when that NBA domino drops, look for AEW, you know, right after that. Yep. Go ahead, Jesse.
I'll be quick. I was going to say, I think, I don't know what's going to top, and I don't remember the number exactly for AEW Revolution, because that was Sting's last match too. Ooh, and that, mm-hmm. that drew a lot of fans to the continental United States, which was nuts to see. So that'll be on par with at least that. Those will probably be your top two bot shows this year.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Do we have a number for that? I'm trying to look right now. I can't remember. Was that like around 200,000? I'm going off of...
I would have guessed about 150.
Yeah. 180 is what I'm seeing.
Whoa. Okay. That's a huge number. I think All Out 21 was like 205. That's the only time they've been over 200 in the history of the...
Well, this is Wikipedia, so I don't know if it's accurate, but... Okay. Well... There's some wrestling news sites that are saying 180,000 buys. This is like mid-April they're coming out with that number, so it's been a little bit. Okay, here's Wrestling Observer has a story on it. Update on AEW Revolution buys. Well, that was Meltzer predicting it was going to be in the 170 to 176 range. It's not the the final number. So yeah, I mean, it was close to 200,000. Maybe just under, it looks like.
Everything in line these days is falling in the neighborhood of low-end 120, high-end 140. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure All-In's going to beat that. I would imagine I'll just go with 160.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's depending on the card and everything, but it's such a... It's such a show, a major event with Wembley Stadium, you know, all the pageantry that comes with that and everything. Mm-hmm. You add in Bryan Danielson. It's going to be real interesting. So yeah, we got that next week on 250, and we also have Swerve Strickland and Kazuchika Okada on 1 week of build as well. Another massive match. And so, I mean, again, it's not like you can't do these matches again in the near future. I mean, we saw them do Moxley and CM Punk, and then they did it All Out just a few weeks later. So, I mean, certainly they can come back to it.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely think both those matches are going to be more about the stories going into them and coming out of them. You know, where you think about AEW pay-per-views, that's all about the matches. You know, everybody's wanting to see the five-star matches. And usually on Dynamite, that's what they lean into, is just look at these great matches you're going to see. But considering the kind of the magnitude of both those matches, I think we're going to see a lot of shenanigans with both. And I would not expect to see like a 20 to 25 minute clear cut winner come out of those matches. There's going to be something else going on with both of them, you know, leading to matches at All In or even just Blood and Guts.
Mm-hmm. Definitely like to see them get up around 800,000 viewers or something like that. I mean, they've been what, in the sixes recently, I think, for overall viewership recently. I could look this up.
High sixes. Yeah.
About it, but yeah.
680, yeah. 688. I think yesterday was 691.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the demo's improved and everything, but I mean, again, people are going to nitpick these ratings just off of a few points each and every week. And it's just such a, with the way people watch TV now, you know, like these numbers, sometimes I don't get to Dynamite some weeks if I'm really busy until like over 24 hours later. And then you're not, YouTube TV has Nielsen built in. You still have like the old homes that are doing the journal and stuff, but like they're getting real data from YouTube TV just based off what the users are watching. And like, if you watch it after 24 hours, it's not in that figure. And so I think the way people consume TV is way different. You know, there are people who are, don't have cable cord cutters. People are using VPNs to subscribe to like the AEW package on Triller, and they watch the international version and they live here. People see in the social media clips. I mean, I have no doubt that by the time people are watching it on replay, watching it illegally, and so on, like a million people are watching Dynamite, no matter what you see on these TV ratings. Go ahead, Justin.
To your point, you know, I don't remember the last time I watched Collision live. I almost always watch it, you know, later on recorded on DVR. So I guess I contributed to that 0.0 rating on the Fast Nationals. I'm sorry, AEW.
Oh, I'm going to tell Alfred. Justin, to bump up that number. Bump up that number that WWE sent you.
Yeah. As long as I get my cheese board.
Yes.
Oh, I've been having such a hard time being able to watch Dynamite live here the last 3-4 months with my son and his ever-changing bedtime. So, yeah. So my number has definitely gone way down since the start of the year.
Hey, I wasn't sure if Twitter X was working or not, because I'm not seeing the stream working the last couple of weeks, but we do have a comment on Twitter. Here's Ben. He's got the pirate logo, so he's one of those people out there. I don't know if that's the Ben from my old WrestleView days or not. It might be. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that do that kind of stuff. So it's hard to get a good read on how many people are watching week to week. But they got a huge show on the horizon. Little Rock, Arkansas, getting quite the treat here in 1 week. Should do a little WWE. It is here Ben. It is Ben from WrestleView.com. Hey. Very nice. Good to see Ben here in the chat. Good. I mean, that goes back over 20 years, probably, to when I was writing at one of my first wrestling writing gigs. Awesome.
Damn. Thank you, Benny.
Yeah. Thanks for checking in. A little bit of WWE, guys, before we close up shop. And, you know, we talked about Money in the Bank, so we don't have to talk about that. We did the review show. Check it out in the archives. But the big thing to talk about is the return of Rhea Ripley, you know, teased throughout the night on Monday night at Dominic Mysterio teaming with Liv Morgan in the main event. Damian Priest teasing backstage, making phone calls that, you know, something funny and big was going to happen. So people were kind of expecting it. And out walks Rhea Ripley after Dominic defeats his father for the first time. And Liv and him are getting really, really close. And then Ripley's theme comes on and she stomps out there, gets this massive, massive pop from the audience. Rhea Ripley is probably like top 3 or 4 most over in the company, men or women. So, I mean, it was a huge response. And this is also has been a very good storyline, you know, so credit to WWE in that they drew out the story so that you could insert Ripley back into it whenever you wanted, whenever she got cleared. I'm sure they're thrilled that, you know, they're getting her back in the lead up to SummerSlam. And now, not so good was the USA Network, at least on my YouTube TV, who cut away from this early because, you know, I saw them come face to face in the ring. And then Ripley, you know, stomping up the entranceway afterwards and Dominic following and all that. None of that was on at least the YouTube TV broadcast. So I didn't see that until I saw it on social media. But I thought, again, well done. You look at the social media clips that WWE pushed out of this after the fact with Liv Morgan running out through the crowd. And then she was peeking through the curtain, looking on to seeing all, you know, what was happening between Rhea and Dominic back in the arena. And then she kind of turned at the camera and gave this like little smile that, you know, it all played out exactly how she wanted. WWE too, putting on really good television lately. You guys have any thoughts on Ripley's return?
I just want to thank Liv Morgan for her contributions to the WWE Women's World Championship and being a placeholder, because it's going back to its rightful owner here at SummerSlam.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she's so over. It's unbelievable. I mean, we knew it, I think, after she had defeated Becky at WrestleMania. It's like where she's going to spend the next year on top again. So it'll be close to two with this small blip. Yeah, I think it's just, I don't know. We'll just see what happens now with good old Dominic Mysterio and how he's been innocent for the most part until the last week. And of course, right when it starts to draw that line, here comes mommy.
Just give me that custody of Dominic match.
That's all you need.
Yes, please. All you need.
I mean, this is going to be really interesting to see how it plays out, though, with Judgment Day. And, you know, they're pretty clearly trying to turn Priest face. Crowd always cheers Ripley just because she's so good at what she does. And so, you know, do they split off? Is there like a new Judgment Day with the other guys and maybe like Liv stepping in there with Dominic? I mean, this could go a lot of different ways. But I mean, yeah, you're right, Jesse. When it comes down to it, it's going back to Ripley, as it should. And yeah, we'll see that play out probably at SummerSlam. The other major talking point from Raw, and Ryan Huffman is talking about this in the chat. Let me bring this up. He says, Rollins and Punk's promo felt a bit like a Brett Shawn promo from years ago. Punk even seemed a little bit rattled. So Justin, our Iowa boy, is coming back to earth a little bit in that I find myself rooting for him again. He has dropped the cackle. He's still wearing the flamboyant outfits, but I think that's going to stay. It's just part of his character. But he was way more serious in this promo. And I was stunned, and I put this on our Twitter page, that Seth Rollins outshined CM Punk in that promo, in the back and forth. I agree with Ryan Huffman. It seemed like Punk didn't really know how to respond. Rollins came off better. In the long run, you know, I'd like to see this dynamic with, you know, Punk as a heel. Right now, they're both kind of vying for cheers, but it seemed like the crowd got more behind Seth as this went on. But to Huffman's point, wrestling is always best, you know, when you can't really tell if it's scripted or do these guys really not like each other. And we know these people, at least in the past, Rollins and Punk did not like each other. And they probably smoothed it over, or at least I hope they have, or, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Punk backstage. But I think they've smoothed it over that they can work together. But you can still feel that tension when they're on TV, and it makes it really, really captivating stuff. And yeah, I mean, lately, Justin, I haven't been cringing when Seth Rollins has been out there.
I hate to say it, but I agree with you. I'm just at the point with Seth where, as long as he's not doing that over the top cackling character, and if he's just kind of being more of a real life human being who just happens to dress like a lunatic, I have no problems with that, because that was Macho Man Randy Savage. Mm-hmm. Savage dressed like, he dressed like a lunatic, but I love the character. Wrestling's always going to be better when it's based in some form of truth. And I think there's pretty obvious that there's still some animosity between these two. That they're, well, I was about to say they're obviously both professionals and will do business, but I guess I can only say that for one of them. So yeah, that's always good. That it's just going to make everything they do more interesting when we're kind of second guessing ourselves as to what's true. Is this actually, you know, getting under the skin of one of them, specifically Punk? So yeah, this little trifecta of Punk, Rollins, and McIntyre, even though it's starting to get a little convoluted, I think is probably the best thing going in WWE right now.
Jesse, thoughts on Punk?
Yeah, Punk is trying to play to the internet crowd. He doesn't realize that the internet crowd was in the promotion that he just left. They don't care a thing about hard cams having fans and all this stuff. It just looks
they
so
have no
juvenile.
Clue what he's talking about. Yeah,
I know, he's trying to throw these one-offs, and it's appeasing us because we know what's going on, but again, mm-hmm. those people don't care. Yeah, you can definitely see that Seth is getting under his skin, and I think moving forward, just to see, will he be ready for SummerSlam? I mean, he's supposed to be taking this week off because Drew's coming back, and then we're going to see where this story takes us over the next couple of weeks. And does that leave Seth without a match? Is he a special guest referee for McIntyre Punk? I think that would actually be an interesting little nugget they could throw in there. So that would be my prediction. Punk McIntyre with Seth Rollins as your guest referee.
Is someone going to spit on him and then duck the chair shot? Is that what we're kind of finish we're going for?
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, SummerSlam, we'll see. I mean, we've talked about on the show before, Damian Priest and Gunther, it's just the babyface heel dynamics off. So they're clearly trying to turn Damian, and he's, you know, he's seeming like this guy backstage who has some honor where, you know, they kind of acknowledge what happened in the match and that your referees make mistakes with the three count, you know, and all of that. But he basically told Rollins that, like, the stipulation that he couldn't challenge him again is out the window, and he'd be happy to wrestle him again. And, you know, they're trying to make him a face in this match. I think we all think Gunther is going to win the title. That seems almost like a lock, but you got that match. I mean, we'll find out tomorrow night on SmackDown, but it looks like it's going to be Solo Sikoa and Cody. And if you want to hear us talk about that, check out the Money in the Bank review. I got some issues with that I ranted on the other day. But the SummerSlam card is coming together. And we'll talk more about that in the weeks ahead, but we want to close with a little NXT. Okay. Justin Joint, Ethan Page is the NXT champion.
He sure is.
And I know you had something about this you wanted to talk about.
Look, with my full apologies to Aaron Graham, I've just never seen anything more than a mid-carder in Ethan Page. He is a fine professional wrestler. He's a good talker, not a great one. He's fine in the ring. This just screams to me of, hey, AEW guys, look what happens when you come over here. We made Cody our world champ. Isn't that neat? Oh, look at how well we're treating all these guys that leave AEW and come over here. Doesn't this look like fun? I mean, Jesus Christ. Paige said, you know, he shit on AEW. You know, he said it was just a disorganized mess. And he legit said that he is happy to be part of the machine now. He called it a fucking machine. I'm sorry, but I'm a child of the 90s. I like to rage against the machine. So fuck that noise. I think he is an uninspired choice as NXT champion. I think that did ill service to Trick, taking it off of him this soon when they're trying to really make him something. I don't like it. And I think it's just a shot at AEW, which is just so silly to me considering, you know, WWE is on a completely different planet than AEW.
I'll try to answer Ryan's question right now. Seth Rollins. Yeah. That's an easy one.
Ryan Huffman said in the chat, has a NXT champ ever been anything more than a mid-carder for WWE?
They tried with Finn Balor as Universal Champion. So, yeah, Samoa Joe. I mean, everything else is like high-end mid-card. They tried with Kevin Owens. So they've definitely tried with, I think, the early onset stages of the black and gold. But yes, outside of that, no, there isn't much. And you're already seeing the likes of the last three, Carmelo Hayes, Bron Breakker, and Ilya Dragunov are starting to get their feet wet. And it's going to take a while, I think, for them to break through, except for maybe Bron. I think he's the one with the future. And then go ahead.
I was going to say, Ethan Page is never going to be a world champion in WWE. He's trying to get an opportunity to get on the main roster. But I mean, he definitely will not be. Sorry, go ahead.
Ooh. Oh, no, I was just going to go back to the lyrics of Ethan Page's last AEW song and just say that he will never let go of his ego. It's more than enough for him and his amigos.
Yeah, to Ben's point in the chat, with the women, much better track record of the NXT women's champions becoming stars. I mean, absolutely. Yeah, I think with Ethan Page, you see like the WWE stands on social media trying to make this into a thing of like, oh, look what WWE does with these cast-offs from NXT. They make them stars. I'm sorry, but like being the NXT champion is not like being the AEW champion. It's not even in the same universe. I know people will say, oh, look at their TV ratings and all this stuff. And they're fairly close to AEW sometimes, or they've even beaten them a couple of times. But you know, NXT is not a touring brand. And if NXT was touring the country for TV every week, they would be doing smaller houses than AEW. No question about it. And so like it's an apples and oranges comparison. Yeah, you can leave AEW and become the NXT champion, but it's not even footing. And you know, I think Ethan Page is fine as the NXT champion. I mean, he's a veteran who can talk, and you've seen, like, I watch NXT Tuesday night, you know, clearly when he was out there, he's better than a lot of these people, as he should be, because it's developmental and he's been wrestling for a long time. So he's like a steady hand. And, you know, if he does a good job, they'll bring him up to Raw or SmackDown. He'll get a little time on the main roster. That's probably what he wants. And he'll cash some paychecks, but he's never going to be a world champion. And that shouldn't be expected. You know, that is not his ceiling. And, you know, I think it's fine for him to be NXT champion, but don't get it wrong. I mean, if you buy into the social media narratives, that's not at all what this is. This is not NXT doing something that AEW failed at. Mm-hmm. I do think that AEW should have let him talk more. it was very odd that they would put him with a mouthpiece when he was a guy who was proven he can talk on the mic. They could have got a little bit more out of him. Definitely. I mean, his ceiling there too was probably, you know, TNT international champion, that kind of title picture. And, you know, I'd argue that's kind of right where he is right now. And there's other stories where guys have gone from AEW to NXT and they have not improved their stock. Look at Lexus King. I mean, him on Tuesday night was horrendous stuff. I mean, this character is terrible. He is not good in the ring. You know, it's just, I'm sorry. You know, like, I'm sure he's a nice enough guy and everything, but it ain't working. I mean, he's not going any higher there than he was in AEW.
Would you rather have Bronny James or Brian Pillman Jr.?
Bronny.
Bronny. Yeah, I mean, both Nepo babies, but definitely Bronny. Definitely Bronny. And, you know, I'm not super high on Bronny James by any means, no. But, you know, yeah. So, you know, you can do these stupid social media arguments all you want, but in the end, NXT is not equal footing to AEW. They're not touring the country. They're not selling pay-per-views. It's just not an even comparison. So,
to the Joe Hendry as well, real quick. It's his music. He's an interesting personality. He can talk.
He's got charisma. Yeah.
He's fine in the ring. He's on par with Ethan Page for me, though. Because some of the strengths that Hendry has, I think Page can extenuate his weaknesses. And I think just balance each other out. So I think it's just almost like the Spider-Man meme in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, altogether, to wrap the show up, I would just say, as far as pro wrestling goes, I'm pretty excited about where pro wrestling is at mm-hmm. right now. I find myself Amen. Excited to watch even Monday Night Raw, excited to watch SmackDown, most excited to watch Dynamite, even Collision right now. It's hard to keep up, but there's a lot of good things happening. I think both companies are really firing on all cylinders right now. So it makes it a lot more fun to podcast about pro wrestling, you know, when the business is like this. It's not some of those dire stretches we went through back in the, I don't know, the Great Balls of Fire time period in WWE. So.
Oh, sure. Go back to your highest rated show.
It was one of our most viewed shows on YouTube, and I didn't even realize I am wearing a Sun Records shirt right now. So shout out, I guess, to the song Great Balls of Fire. I never thought I'd see a pro wrestling show with a Jerry Lee Lewis song as the title track. But I mean, yeah, from that 2017 into 2018, things got a little rough, you know, but then in 2019, AEW coming along made the business a lot more interesting, having a viable alternative. And I got to tell you guys, there's not many people in the world I'd rather talk pro wrestling with on a weekly basis than you two. So it's been a lot of fun.
Hell yeah, buddy. Been.
And it forced the WWE to step up their game at the same time.
Yes.
They finally have.
No question. I mean, all these jokes about AEW attendance. I mean, are you brand new to the business? Do you not remember 2019, early 2020 WWE? Lots of tarped off sections. You know, and then when the pandemic ended, people wanted to come out to the live events again. And WWE has certainly capitalized and done wonderful business. But I mean, the business goes through cycles, ups and downs, as we've talked about. And WWE is certainly hot. They're doing huge houses and more power to them. And the shows are good because you do have competition and you got to up your game. Yeah. So that's about all we got. I don't have anything else on my agenda, you guys. So this has been a lot of fun. It's been episode 349 of Top Rope Nation. As I said on the top, you want more bonus content from us, become a patron. More content dropping on a weekly basis for all of the patrons. We appreciate you guys most of all because you make this show possible each and every week and continuing into near. We're getting close on our 8-year anniversary of this show. Hard to believe. End of July will be 8 years. Of Top Rope Nation. And if we didn't have the support on Patreon, we wouldn't be doing the show anymore. So thanks for making this train keep chugging along. And all you in the chat tonight, too. It's been a lively chat. We appreciate all you guys chiming in here on the show.
It's your best night chat in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, thank you. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. But we do those daytime shows and we get all our friends from across the pond. And those are always very lively. But we had a pretty lively chat tonight. So appreciate all of you a lot, too, for for tuning in, because when we get the live chat going, it makes it a lot more fun and interactive. So appreciate it. We'll be back next week at the same time, 8:30 Central, here on the YouTube channel. So in the meantime, hope everybody has a great weekend. Stay safe out there. Enjoy pro wrestling. We'll see you all next week. Take care.
Make them, Tony. Make them.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.